Hello, and welcome to RBC's industry briefing for Ontario non-for-profit partners on April 9, 2020. I'm Valerie Short, Vice President, Corporate Citizenship at RBC Royal Bank and Executive Director of the RBC Foundation. In this role, I lead RBC's global corporate citizenship strategy, which includes strategic philanthropy, employee citizenship engagement, and environmental sustainability. These are unprecedented times we are living in. We're all facing uncertainty in our businesses, our personal lives, or both, due to the COVID-19 global pandemic. I'm pleased to be joined by Kathy Taylor, Executive Director, Ontario Nonprofit Network, to discuss some of the issues organizations and specifically non-for-profits are facing as we navigate these challenging times. Kathy, I understand that ONN did a deep dive into a recent survey on the impact COVID-19 has been having with organizations. I'm hoping you could be able to give us an overview of what the landscape looks like today and what you are seeing in the industry right now.
Thanks so much, Valerie. It's a pleasure to chat with you today. So before I talk about the survey, a reminder that the size and scope of the nonprofit sector in Ontario, there's actually 58,000 nonprofits, 5 million volunteers, and 1 million workers. So it's quite a substantive sector in Ontario. So we surveyed over 500 Ontario organizations over the last 10 days in a flash survey to see how the sector is faring and what they need. And what we learned is that they're facing a triple threat to revenue, operations, and human resources. So what that means is an abrupt loss of revenue from the cancellation of fundraising events and a steep drop-off in donations, the closure of offices and cancellation of programs and services due to pandemic restrictions, and then unprecedented human resource challenges in terms of both paid staff and volunteers. And close to 75% of organizations told us that they have abruptly lost revenue from fundraising and event revenue, and 73% had to close their office or cancel programs and services. So every part of the sector was affected, from arts and culture to childcare to social services to environmental groups. And what we heard was that they are facing a financial cliff. It's quite a dire situation, and for them, relief and supports can't come fast enough. And one of our biggest concerns is if we don't find supports for the sector right now, we'll lag behind the economic recovery. One of the quotes from our survey that really resonated with us was that the charity rebound will lag behind the economic rebound unless we support our sector.
That's unbelievable, Kathy. Thanks so much for sharing. And the survey, I'm sure, has been extremely useful given how quickly our world has changed. So I'd like to do a bit of a deeper dive on a few areas and maybe start off with a question about our economic state. Outside of the health implications that we're all facing, news coverage continues to spend a great deal of time on the impact COVID-19 is having on the economy. So perhaps you could tell us a bit more how nonprofits are affected by this in ways that may be similar or differentiated from their for-profit counterparts?
That's a great question, Valerie. I think one of the things that we often forget is that the nonprofit sector is a huge contributor to our economy. We own buildings, we hire people, we buy stuff. We have actually over $50 billion of economic impact in Ontario alone, and I'm pretty sure that that's an outdated statistic. And so in that way, we face some of the same issues as other business sectors are facing right now, like tourism, for example, or agriculture, in terms of the trying to continue to provide services, how we have to think about staffing. So nonprofit leaders, similar to leaders in other organizations, are concerned mostly about the safety of their employees and their financial bottom line. But there's one big difference, though, for our sector, and that is that a large majority of our sector have been considered essential, still with their doors open, and many of our workers are frontline staff with insufficient access to personal protective equipment, like community workers, personal support workers, childcare workers, shelter staff, food bank volunteers. And overall, the demand for our sector services has actually been increasing during this time. Our survey said that 40% are seeing increased demand for their services. So while we have increased demand, leaders are also deeply worried about the capacity of their organizations to carry out their missions amid the crisis. And it's similar, though, to our for-profit counterparts. Our survey respondents told us that close to 80% had disruptions of services to their clients and communities, but that rose to 91% if you were a social service organization. So when you combine that with the loss of discretionary income from the public, such as fundraising and event revenue, we really are struggling to stay afloat. And one in five nonprofits already told us they've closed their doors due to COVID-19, and we're not sure if they're going to reopen. And that is a huge concern, I think, for all of us.
Particularly, as you said earlier, that so many of the services that are being provided by this sector are fundamental to the cohesiveness of our society. So when you look at, in a time that it's where it's needed the most, that the services are declining or not being available, it is of concern to all of us, and also significantly a concern in terms of a rebounding of the economy. So another point is that we also know that the work that these organizations are doing is vital to the strength and backbone of Canada. And if we switch to what can these organizations do now and how can they mobilize and prioritize some of their activities, what would you suggest?
That's a great question. Thank you, Valerie. Yeah, absolutely, I agree with you that it's our communities that will suffer if nonprofits don't survive and thrive from this crisis, because our missions are to exist to serve others. So whether they're an essential service right now, like a residential shelter, or they're a sport and recreation group, a minor hockey or soccer, a theater, we all are going to want those organizations to be healthy and ready to go as soon as this crisis starts to abate. So it's important to note that even in the face of these challenging times, nonprofits are resilient. They're working on the front lines to support their communities to serve in this unparalleled time of need. So there are some practical things I would recommend for any organization to do right now. Absolutely understand your current cash flow and be able to stabilize your operations. So reach out to your financial advisor for ideas and advice on improving liquidity over the next few months. You know, think about doing those scenario plans. Many organizations have already started, both for program delivery as well as financial stability. So you feel like you're ready for whatever the scenario comes forward with you. And I can't emphasize enough to communicate to your staff, your volunteers, your donors, your funders. Tell your story. People want to know how you're doing, what to expect, what you need. And in addition to this, don't forget to advocate with your government contacts. We've been advocating primarily with the provincial government as well as a little bit with the federal government. And it's so important that they know what organizations are facing on the ground. Some of our key asks are because we have heard from nonprofits and charities on the ground that they need stabilization money, they need bridge financing, they need support for workers and flexibility with government grants. And so those are the priorities that we're advocating for right now.
And that links directly into this relationship with funders. And you talked about communication, reaching out, being transparent about the situation that they're in. What else should organizations be asking of their funders and their partners in this area?
You know, great question. I would say absolutely ask for flexibility, whether it's from public or private funders. The world has changed for everyone. And foundations, especially corporate donors, public or private, are more than open to more flexible arrangements right now that would be better in line for your needs. And we've heard from many of them. And for example, Philanthropic Foundations of Canada and the Community Foundations of Canada and some other partners put out 5 principles to help guide funders to use at this time. And they include things like support, advocacy, and collaborate or contribute to emergency funds. Be flexible, pragmatic, and proactive. So there's a number of things funders are doing and thinking about, and we know that they want to do the right thing right now, but they won't unless you ask them for it. So do not hesitate to reach out and talk to your funders, tell them what you need, ask for the flexibility, including moving money from one line item to another or delayed reporting or extensions, don't hesitate to advocate for your own organization.
It's interesting, the principles are the ones that we've actually used as part of the RBC Foundation. And we issued a letter to over 1,000 of our partners to do a couple of things. And the first is to just reassure them that we acknowledge that this is a really difficult time and reassure them of funding. We also, to your point about flexibility, allowed them to move program funding to operational expenses. Up to 50% of the program funding is now able to be supporting operational expenses, and as well as adjusting impact measurement and reporting requirements. And so I also think it's important for funders to be proactive in this regard. The feedback that we received from our charitable partners was overwhelming. And apart from the actual ability to reprioritize funding in that way, it was just a big thank you to acknowledge that they're not alone and that we are all in it together. And that kind of relationship is so critical and kind of shows that we're, as funders, we're in partnership with many of our charitable partners. And it's an opportunity to do what matters most at this specific time. So my think that there's also a call out to funders to be proactive in this area because our charitable partners have so much else to worry about in terms of keeping the doors open. I'd want to look at also government programs. So what's available now for non-for-profits here in Ontario?
Yes, lots is happening on this front, very timely. So in Ontario, the government of Ontario has announced a number of targeted funding amounts that are available to nonprofits and charities, but in specific areas. So they've announced, for example, an increase in funding for disability services, for Indigenous nonprofits, for shelters, for food banks. There's a pot of money available for social service relief that's going through municipalities. So if you haven't talked to your municipality and if you're in the social services sector, please do that. And the Ontario government has also made announcements about delaying AGMs, so annual general meetings. They've adjusted the legislation to allow organizations to delay their AGMs this year, knowing that audits might take a little bit longer of time. At the federal level, that's where there's some significant news for the sector. Just yesterday, on April 8th, there was breaking news about the wage subsidy and the Canada Summer Jobs Grant. And I would encourage you to look at Imagine Canada has a great table on their website called Relief Measures on their COVID-19 page, which lists all the federal announcements that relate to nonprofits and charities and supports for COVID-19. And it has details of the wage subsidy, which nonprofits and charities are eligible for. It's 75% of your wages. You do have to show a reduction in revenues, 15% in early January, February, and then 30% going forward. And it is a temporary wage subsidy. It won't meet everyone's needs, but it's a start. And there's also a 10% wage subsidy automatically that you might be able to qualify for. And there's a lot more flexibility with the Canada Summer Jobs Grant and more money available. So if you didn't apply for a Canada Summer Jobs Grant already, contact your MP and get more information about that because that will be also an advantage to our sector.
Okay, perfect. It's such practical advice, Kathy. Thank you very much. And maybe we'll kind of end this with talking about what is the new normal. Dave McKay, our CEO, issued an op-ed in the Globe and Mail talking about what have we learned from this situation that will carry us on beyond the pandemic. And if there's anything that we've seen is such significant creativity, resilience from the sector. I'm wondering if you could talk about what some of the organizations are thinking about. What will it look like as we think about post-COVID-19?
That's a great question, and I think it's not too early to start thinking about the short, medium-term, and long-term implications of this and where we want to be. And there's no doubt that, you know, when we really think about it, there's a lot of things that we actually don't want to return to the way it was before. Perhaps some of the way our organizations were funded. The difficulty right now trying to move project funding to operational funding, for example, or the technology. A lot of organizations weren't set up to work from home before and now are. So there's a lot of things that we've learned in a very short period of time that can transform our organizations to be more nimble and creative in the future. And I think that's probably a good thing. I'm humbled and amazed every day by some of the stories I hear of how the sector is stepping up and delivering services in very difficult circumstances in their communities. And I know they will be resilient. It won't affect, you know, nonprofits and charities may not look exactly like they do today, But the ability that they've done to collaborate in this period of time bodes so well for the future, because I think we can address some of the big issues that are facing our communities with the strength of the nonprofit sector behind us.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy. I think you've said it so well, and I think the amount of collaboration that you've identified has been tremendous to see, and people thinking about what they might need, what they don't need, how can they actually deliver programs together and differently. I think also in terms of fundraising, this is posing a new challenge, and perhaps people are realizing that there's a different way, a novel way of getting a better visibility and being closer to their donor base in a way that actually still creates significant value. So I know that ONN has been doing some incredible work helping to advocate and represent the industry, and I invite our listeners to stay connected on the ONN website for further updates. But thank you so much, Kathy, for your time today.
Thank you, Valerie. It was a pleasure.